In discussion with Lisa and working up with for today, we chose to look at the Bank Station capacity upgrade project, which has already been mentioned, where I should say that we have a role in advising on the impacts on the various listed structures under which the tunnels last. We chose this project in particular, not in order to have a debate this afternoon about, in a sense, whether it's a good thing or not. That will be debated in full at the Transport and Works Act inquiry, which is due for relatively early next year, but rather because it seemed to us to summarise the, first, the extraordinary complexity and also the challenges to any project which seeks to go under the soil of London. We're also going to draw on our experiences of living in an office in Cowcross Street, which has got the Farringdon Station box being built right underneath it at the moment. But I hope that what will follow in the next 20 minutes or so will be an opportunity to pick up, in a sense, to give some flesh, to give some kind of practical examples to the very illuminating presentations that we've had just now. So over to Daniel.
Thank you, William. As William has just mentioned, our office is in Cowcross Street, just next to the Western Ticket Hall of Farringdon Crossrail. This is Cowcross Street. We are sort of 30 to 50 metres away from the development of the oversight office, and we have a tunnel which has passed underneath our building earlier this year. So we have a bit of experience of the impacts that these large-scale development works have on sort of the local community. We have been in Cowcross Street for over 30 years. And so it's been very interesting for the company to see how Farringdon itself has developed and how these works will develop it further in the future. This is a sort of a general view of Bank Area. As most of you know, it is built up of many handsome listed buildings and buildings of political importance, but also a hive of activity, not only at the surface with all its businesses, but underneath the surface. It always amazes me that beneath these sort of staircases, sort of very unobtrusive staircases, is a whole network which connects the entire of London. It's quite remarkable, really, that down that small staircase you've got all of this structure. Currently, Bank is a very, very busy interchange. It's fairly ineffective. It's an interchange between the DLR, the Northern Line, the Central Line, Waterloo and City platforms, and also the Circle and District Line. To relieve the amount of passengers that are trying to go through Bank Station and to increase the capacity, there are a number of things we are trying to, or Dragados, the contractor for this scheme, is trying to do. The first thing is to have a new oversight development, new surface station, with escalators running down to the Northern Line and to the DLR. One of the main aspects of this scheme is to put a new southern running tunnel for the Northern Line. This frees up the existing southern running tunnel for a larger concourse, for more passengers to pass through the area at the same time. There's a very large distance between the Northern Line platforms and the Central Line, so a new travelator is being proposed to pass passengers from one to the other a lot more efficiently. There's also, as part of LUL's sort of ongoing development, plans for step-free access down to the DLR and the Northern Line. So that's just a basic brief overview of the scheme. It's been touched on before, just the amount of existing infrastructure and existing structure within the ground. This is just a shot of part of the new development, the new tunnel in green, which shows not only structures extending from the surface, we've got deep basements and piles all over the place, which the tunnels need to thread through or go through. There's also the existing tunnels, whether it's for transport, for sewers, UKPN, has all been mentioned. In addition to this, we've got the old abandoned post office tunnels, abandoned railway stations, and all this sort of thing. Now, the trouble is, in order to plan these routes, to plan the works, you need to know where all this structure is. And it's very difficult when think historically we've been very bad at keeping records, and especially utilities companies, Thames Water and the like. Without this information, we can't really do much. So there's a lot of work goes into sort of site investigations to find out where these structures are, how deep the piles are, that sort of thing. Now, this is very disruptive. This is very disruptive on the surface for any building owners, any people using the streets, and that's along with structures in the ground, we've also mentioned a lot of geological anomalies. We're going through different strata, different geology, and this all needs to be taken into account, whether there's lost rivers, sand lenses with high pressure water, which is what some of the issues at Foundon was about. Now, if we were able to, every time we do a project like this, where a lot of information is gathered, a lot of information, or there's been a lot of disruption to gather this information, especially on the structures and on the geology, if this is then made available to other people who are developing in that same area, then that will reduce sort of any disruption in the future for that area. I think this is a picture of the Eastern Ticket Hall at Foundon Station. We're talking a lot about tunnelling and the effects of tunnelling and the impact that has specifically at the surface. But a lot of these developments always have huge surface developments as well. And this just sort of shows the scale of Crossrail as it is at the moment. One of the contentious issues at RBKC at the moment is basements and the construction of basements and the disruption that they cause. Now, these are sort of relatively small residential basements causing this disruption. So, of course, when we get a site like this, the disruptions are going to be huge, and there's not really much we can do about that apart from handling those disruptions with as much forethought and political nonsense as possible, really. It's also important to, as we saw earlier, there's a lot of structure in the ground which we've put in. It's permanent structure. So whenever we do something like this, we've got to remember that it is permanent structure. Obviously, we're upgrading as much of this infrastructure as possible. Now, I think it's important to keep in mind that whatever we do needs to not impact the future development and the future development of the capacity of that station again. It may come a time in decades where we need to further increase it, and hopefully the work that we're not doing now prohibits that. We've talked about services. A lot of the services that we have in the ground, we don't know where they are or we don't know what condition they are in, but any tunnelling works can impact on those services as well. I know in Farringdon, some of the tunnelling works was meant to impact some of the main water works, and as part of the works, the tunnels had to be first lined. However, when it comes to doing this work, it became apparent that the sewer is in much worse condition than originally thought. So it's very easy for works to escalate beyond how much time and how much disruption you thought it would initially take. And now, obviously, this you may be able to sort of give forewarning to people in the local area of disruptions. You're digging up this sewer, this water main. The road's going to be closed for this amount of time. However, it is very easy, and it's completely out of our control, really, that these works do escalate, but it's just trying to get in there as early as possible to mitigate any further impact that could have. As William mentioned, our role at Bank is primarily as expert witnesses on the Traffic and Works Act, but also for looking at the Stage 3 potential damage assessment for a number of listed buildings in the area. I think it's our belief that it's very important when looking at the damage caused to some of these buildings, not only to look at, you find out how the structure works, but also how the building works, how the people inside the building use it. We start looking at the damage that could be caused by the tunnelling, and then mitigation measures that can be incorporated to prevent any damage to the buildings. Now, this can be very disruptive for the building users. So as long as we keep in mind how the building is being used, how we can prevent damage being caused to the buildings, and sort of combine those in a way which causes least disruption, I think there's lots of little things that we can be thought about for all parts of a major work such as this to reduce significantly the disruption that it does cause. I think William wanted to start talking a bit about the human factor.
Yes. And it seems to me that there are already two themes possibly emerging to this afternoon. There are two aspects, rather, to these underground infrastructure projects, the first of which is quite simply the amazing engineering challenges. But secondly, it is the public experience of these works, both during construction and once they're over. And I, as someone who is not an engineer, would like, in the final couple of slides, just to touch on that kind of human experience. So this is our the station at which I arrive at work every morning at Farringdon on my way to the office, and I should say straight away that once Crossrail opens, I will have 20 minutes extra in bed every morning, which is fantastic. But as you'll see from these figures, I'm sorry, it's a slightly old side from Farringdon, the number of people like me coming through Farringdon Station at the peak hour is going to increase from the current 22,000 almost by three times, up to nearly 57,000 people. And that in itself is a very, very considerable challenge. And clearly, I hope at least that the new station at Farringdon has been designed to cope with me and 57,000 other people coming through at 9 o'clock every morning. But we must not forget the surrounding area. And very interestingly, both at Bank and at Farringdon, these stations spill out into what is effectively a very small-scale medieval street pattern. And we need to take very, very great care and imagination if those areas are going to be able to take that number of people without fundamentally destroying their very special character. And then, perhaps prior to that, there is the whole kind of human impact during construction, and this photograph shows our courtyard with a rig investigating what is a very, very complex geological position beneath Farringdon through which the tunnelling machines were going to have to pass. And it's not surprising that when you get people, particularly building owners or building occupiers, who are feeling nervous and cross at the disruption, that something like this in their courtyard or within the street just makes people feel more kind of nervous and cross than they already might be. And so it's incredibly important that these people are treated with care and given explanations. In many cases, people just want to know what's going on. They want to understand why all these surveys are going on. And once they realise that it's very important to understand the underlying geology of the Farringdon area in order for the tunnelling machine to go through safely, then that's fine. But we do need to think, I think, more carefully about that process than perhaps has always been done in the past. So in summary, from, as I say, a slight outsider's perspective, the engineering for me is quite extraordinary. And seeing those photographs of Bank Station and what, you know, you go down that tiny staircase and there's that extraordinary piece of spaghetti beneath the ground. The engineering is extraordinary. But what we're doing these underground infrastructure projects for ultimately is for people. That's why we're moving all these earth, digging all these holes. Crossrail is not just about building a railway, it's about getting people, you and me, all of us, to move more effectively around the city of London. And so it does seem to me that that personal, that individual experience of the construction of these infrastructure projects and of using them is of very great importance. Thank you.